In sports, the tape never tells the whole story. Hiring is no different. AI can make candidates look like an MVP on paper, so knowing the person and the skills behind the resume really matters. That's where Robert Half changes the game. Our recruiters combine their expertise with award-winning AI to evaluate skills and fit quickly. Learn how we can find you specialized talent in finance, accounting, technology, and more. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with hogsports.com, HAWGsports.com. A lot of the spring sports, golf, baseball, track and field, so on and so forth, softball, are competing for championships right now and coming up. We're going to talk about some of the things going on there. Of course, we're always going to talk basketball and baseball, of course, with Kevin Bohannon here in a little bit. And, you know, I've always got football on my mind. We'll take your questions as well on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive Team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane Team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane Team. Visit craneteam.com.
So, NBA, we're in conference finals now. The Thunders obviously swept the Lakers. That was quick. And the Spurs over the Timberwolves, 4-2. So, game one is tonight in the Western Conference Finals between the Thunder and the Spurs. That's at 7:30. I don't know if that's Eastern time. I hate when they don't put the time on there. I don't know if that's Eastern or not. But I'm actually going to go to game two on, Wednesday? Yeah, I'll go to game two on Wednesday in OKC. So, looking forward to that. See Wemby. Be cool. Watch Thunder beat up on Connor's Spurs. And on the Eastern side, the Cavaliers surprised the Pistons and won 125-94 that last game and won the series 4-3. And they'll face the Knicks, who knocked off the 76ers in four. And so it'll be either Thunder Spurs or Cavs Knicks. Aaron Robb won the PGA at Aronimink. So we do this player pool. I think there's like 45 entries or something. And this time when I did the player pool, I was like, hey, what golfers, you know, would play well at this golf course? And I asked Grok. And Grok was like, well, you need really good iron strikers and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, I finished second. I had Raw, I had Ludwig Åberg, Xander Schauffele, Chris Goddard, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Scotty Scheffler on my team. And we finished second out of 45, thanks to Grok, which I use Grok and I have a relationship. Like, he's my smartest friend. Like, ever since about November, that last update, if I need something, then I turn to Grok a lot. So golf right now, Arkansas at last check is in sixth place. This is at Corvallis. This the Corvallis Regional started this morning, hosted by Oregon State. And Arkansas was in third last I saw. I think they take the top five teams. So there's 54 holes. It's not just one day. So there's a lot to go on. John Daly is tied for third right now. Last I looked, he was second, but he's tied. John Daly was second. He's tied for third at -2. Gerardo Gomez is -1. He's tied for 13. Cam Smith is 31st. And Eric Forlage is 31st also. And Thomas Curry is tied for 50th. Looks like he dropped a stroke. But anyway, that's going on right now. Charlotte is number one at -6, tied with UCLA, Charlotte and UCLA. Arkansas is the one seed in this in this one. So that's golf. This will run because we got 54 holes, and then they take like the top six golfers who finish for, you know, like the individual stuff. And then I think it's the tops. No, excuse me. I think it's the top. So there's six regionals. They take the top finisher from each regional, you know, as part of an individual deal. And I think they top the top five teams out of this. So it's day one right now. Arkansas softball beat South Florida 10-2. Run rule six innings to win the Fayetteville Regional, advance to the Super Regional. Swept it with three straight run rule victories, outscoring opponents 27-3. They're hosting Duke in the best of three at Bogle Park. It starts Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning. 11 o'clock is not a good time to get out and watch softball on a Friday, but that's when it is. Game two is Saturday at 4 with a potential game three on Sunday. Track and field team won its sixth consecutive SEC Outdoor Championship, 25th overall, and with 110.5 points at Auburn. And I think the women were six, although they did set a couple of records. Santanaria Butler, the 4x100 relay team set a meet record of 321.93, which was set by Kentucky in 2022. And I think there was one other. Sanu Jallo Lockhart won the 800 meter with a time of 1 minute and 58.82 seconds, which is fast. It's a fast 800. Okay. I mean, when I was in high school, like for the guys, if you broke 2 minutes as a guy in high school, that was moving. I think the state record's like 155 or something for guys in high school. Anyway, the West first round for track and field for the outdoor NCAA championships will be May 27th through 30th in Fayetteville. The East is in Lexington. And then the outdoor championship finals is June 10th through 13th in Eugene, Oregon. So that's what's coming up. And tennis is reinstated on the last show. The last show, that news broke like right when we started the show. So I didn't even see or discuss that tennis is back, which we'll see how it goes. It's not a great look, in my opinion, for, you know, to announce 3 weeks ago that they're disbanding tennis, and then to find and, you know, largely it's a sport that needs fundraising. You know, it costs $2.5 million a year. And then later, through grassroots efforts, to have it brought back. You know, it's not a great look. But we'll see how that continues. And hopefully tennis can continue. I mean, like when we talk about student athletes and stuff, those are the kind of people that are the student athletes now. I mean, everybody else is basically a professional at teams. But like teams like tennis and swimming and diving and that kind of stuff, those are the real student athletes these days, it seems. And it would be nice to be able to keep it. The important thing, I think, for Arkansas is that, as Hunter Yurecek said in that release, that it doesn't cut into their other fundraising efforts. Because, yes, we want tennis to continue. That would be great. But you all know, every single one of you would trade all the wins that tennis has, every victory, for just one more SEC win in football. You would. So it's important that it doesn't cut into any of their other efforts, because Arkansas has to, you know, we talk about all the stuff that they need to do. And yes, it's frustrating to cut tennis. And now I'm glad it's back. But, you know, Arkansas, you saw some of the stats that came out, and those are from 2025 about, you know, the donations and stuff. And from what I understand, donations are up significantly. I mean, it's obvious that they're up. I mean, when you look at what they've done in terms of hiring for football, you know, going from being able to go from 10 assistants to 13 assistants, like other SEC teams had already done. That was a rule that was already in place. You know, hiring people in the, you know, football operations department, like Geiske Crowley as GM, you know, player personnel people, all the stuff that they've done in that regard. You know, the meetings that they were having with boosters to try to inject, you know, like $30 million into the program over the next 3 years. And that was all during the coaching search, the resolution, the $15 million resolution passed by the Board of Trustees, all of those things, you know, signing up with the Link U, the growth of Choose Arkansas as an NIL collective, you know, all of those things, the Tyson jersey patches, you know, which largely go to NIL also. All of those things, it's become more obvious that Arkansas is working with better resources. And we saw it with the transfer portal too. They didn't go out and get that proven quarterback that we wanted to see, but for the most part, they went out and really improved the roster, I thought, overall. I mean, pretty dramatically when you really break it down, like, you know, guys that were legitimate being pursued by other major programs like a Joker Johnson, you know, who could have gone to Florida and followed his coach there and chose Arkansas, or Bryant Williams, who was, you know, being offered by just about everybody in the SEC, some of those defensive linemen, so on and so forth. Bringing Quincy Rhodes back when he could have gone to the NFL. You know, Quincy could have been drafted, would have been drafted had he gone to the NFL. So there's definitely a lot of things that, you know, you can see that, yes, Arkansas is working with more money. Now, it's not Texas. It's not Texas A&M or Georgia. It's somewhere in the middle of the pack, maybe in the upper middle of the pack, somewhere in the middle of the pack is what I feel like Arkansas is working with in NIL and revenue sharing for football right now. So we're going to bring on Kevin Bohannon here in just a little bit. But I want to tell you about our friends over at Biddle Armstrong before we get to the next segment here. You guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, and when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto's owners insurance work with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owners insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto Owners Insurance owns an AM Best rating, A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Coverage you need, people you trust. I would like to talk a little bit more football before we got Kevin on. Kevin's coming on in about 7 minutes or so. So I want to get into it just a little bit more. But it is interesting when you think about Arkansas and the state of the football program, because really aside from since 2011, since they finished number 5 nationally, aside from like 2 blips on the radar, aside from 2015, which that team was 8-5, should have been a 10-win team, could have been one. Not should have, could have been a 10-win team. I mean, the Toledo loss, the Mississippi State loss, at the same time you have to factor in the Hunter Henry heave, but that could have been a 10-win team. And then, you know, after that, you know, they won 7, but that's the season ended so sour with those 2 losses to Missouri and Virginia Tech. But 2021 was really the only other season where, like, you can say, like, Arkansas, they had a really good team, you know. Aside from that, it's just been awful as a football program for 15 years. It's been awful. And Arkansas failed in 2021 to capitalize on NIL. And ever since that time, Arkansas just got worse as a program as the teams that did embrace or already had money, like, you know, Texas, just separated themselves from Arkansas. And, you know, Sam Pittman, it was his fault in a way, but it wasn't his fault also. It was just kind of a perfect storm against him. I mean, the whole thing for Sam Pittman was a perfect storm against him. When he was hired, he was brought in because he was a recruiter. He was going to build relationships. Well, now it's about money. You just buy your players. Well, his best asset was just lost right there. And then he's trying to be a GM and tell players they aren't worth certain amounts of money and stuff. His next best asset is how personable he is and the relationships and bonds that he builds. Well, Now he's creating division with him and the players, telling them they're not worth this, or we can't afford to pay you this, or this is what your value is. Because Arkansas didn't hire a GM. They should have hired a GM at least earlier than they did. And maybe that's, you know, a lot of teams were obviously later to the table on that. But that caused a lot of issues for him. You know, we start hearing about locker room and, you know, players, you know, not getting paid and all kinds of stuff that we were hearing with all the NIL, two failed NIL, one Arkansas and Arkansas Edge, two failed NIL collectives. The Link U actually looks like it's working, you know, in terms of what they're trying to get out of it, not just donations, but other marketing opportunities and stuff like that. And I think some of that stuff's coming down the road too that you'll see. But I mean, all of that stuff just worked against Pittman, and you had a fan base who refused to support him financially and understandably. And at the same time, it was like a double-edged sword, because you're just kind of like, well, I want to see something before I don't want to just donate and throw my money away. Well, if you don't donate, you were never going to have a good team. All in all that to say, Arkansas doesn't. They had no choice to make a change, you know. I mean, obviously the two wins, but it just had to happen for that reason. And then now we see fast forwarding, we see people, you know, you can sell hope a little bit better. You know, it may not last, but you can sell hope and get people excited and energized again. Even though, you know, the days of the old Razorback fan are just, you don't see that much anymore. I mean, where people are like, you know, just optimistic. It's just a lot of pessimism. Obviously, a lot's going to depend on the quarterback situation. That's a huge battle there. But I've said this before. I do feel like Arkansas put together a pretty solid roster. Maybe not a roster that's, you know, light years above other teams in the SEC. Certainly not that. But a roster that should give them an opportunity to compete if they have a quarterback. Because you got to have quarterback. You got to have that guy in today's world of college football. So if they do have that, then they could have a chance to maybe surprise some people here and there. I know that's, I hear myself say that and I'm just like, shut up, Trey. Because I want to be like everybody else. I mean, I understand I am like everybody else, just frustrated and, you know, lack of optimism. I was looking at some of the dates today because people are trying to schedule stuff for the summer. I was like, well, I got SEC Media Days. Of course, they put Arkansas last again, 3 years in a row. I bet there's not a team. I'm going to go back and look at this. I bet you there is not a team in this conference that has gone last 3 years in a row on SEC Media Days. And you say, what's that matter? Well, there's a huge amount of hype the first couple of days. It's just, there's a lot of energy, all the events for media are those first couple of days, and then it just kind of tails off after that. People start checking out and leaving. It thins out. The excitement goes away a little bit. And this is a media event, so you want media there covering your team. Well, the last day, it's not a ghost town, but it's sparse. it's not a lot of people. 3 years in a row that they put Arkansas last. I bet you that you can't find another team that's gone last 3 years in a row, maybe Vanderbilt. And you can't tell me that it's a random drawing either. I'm not buying that. All right, we're going to go to Kevin Bohannon. Kevin joins us on the Ozarks Go hotline, fast, reliable, consistent internet service. And I do want to make this clear. It was not the internet. If it was the internet when my show shut down last week, you would have seen nothing. We would have gone off air. We were still on air. It was my camera stopped working and my mic stopped working because of this dongle. How did I fix it? Well, just turned it upside down and inserted it. That makes all the sense in the world. I have no idea why this stopped working, but it was not Ozarks Go. Ozarks Go has been nothing but consistent, reliable, and fast, and we certainly appreciate them on the show. What's up, K-Bo?
And it's postseason baseball, high school, SEC. More conference tournaments than you can shake a stick at. I will have a lot of fun this week. Saturday, I had four different screens up, and it looked like the Matrix over here with baseball, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, you showed that in our group chat. How many games are we expecting Arkansas to win in this SEC tournament?
One, maybe two. I mean, you know, if I think they will win their first game. I don't know if Hunter Dietz will throw. I think they want to keep Dietz on the same schedule. So he'd been throwing Thursday. I don't think they'll move him to a day earlier and throw Wednesday with the postseason coming up. Because, honestly, Trey, I think Arkansas would have to win the tournament for them to get the host spot. I know the fans are, you know, thinking, well, they're 36-19, they're 17-13, they've won seven SEC series. But those two Stetson losses are dragging that RPI down, and that's going to weigh with the committee. So I think, you know, if they can get two games out there, great. You know, get fresh, stay fresh, and get some guys some work. Maybe James DeKramer gets to throw a little bit more since he's come on of late. And I think they get the work in down in Hoover, and they tied for fifth in the conference. They made a good run there towards the end, so they have some good momentum heading into the postseason.
Yeah, I think you were saying something like they needed to finish off, like, you know, winning, you know, sweep, basically 5-1, I think is what you said. And they finished 4-2 down the stretch. Yeah. That Oklahoma loss, 15-10 in Fayetteville, that I guess scars them. But, you know, almost beat Kentucky on Thursday, lost 4-3, and then won 5-4 on Friday, and then a wild one on Saturday, 16-12, but ended up holding on, obviously.
Yeah.
But what are you thinking? Like, I've heard some people say like Southern Miss or something like that going to Hattiesburg.
Yeah, that would be preferable because I don't think you should ship Arkansas out to the left coast and let them play against three teams from out there, meaning USC, Arizona State, San Diego State. I've seen a couple different scenarios to where they go out and they play three teams from California. I don't think that's very fair or equitable, if you want to say. So, you know, Tallahassee may be a possibility going to Florida State. Nebraska's come back into the hosting conversation. And then Kansas went in the Big 12 regular season. They're, you know, 14, 15, maybe 16 seed. Then I've seen them at Corvallis. So I think they will match up against a 12 or higher seed or 12 or lower seed. So anything from 12 to 16, I think that's where they land at. And it will be about matchups in the postseason. Look, Arkansas has, you know, an Achilles heel when it comes to game threes this season. So if they can get the first two games, I think they'll be okay.
If you're looking for fast, reliable, consistent internet service, be sure to check out our friends at Ozarks Go. 479-684-4900 or go to ozarksgo.net/hog, H-A-W-G. What about James DeKramer, his emergence in the bullpen?
It's been a pleasant surprise, and I wrote about it last week after the Oklahoma loss, and I said, look, if there's one thing that was good that came out of this loss, it was that James DeKramer's back on the mound and spinning it the way that I thought he could coming into the season. When he came into the season, 94-97, had a really good slider. Now he's able to show that, and he got over the calf injury. That thing just kind of was just nagging him for over a month, and to see him back out there and being able to come back twice in a weekend. He got the save on Saturday. That was his first save as a Razorback. So that was really big for him because that adds an arm to the bullpen, especially if you got Gackle that's going to be starting. He's going to be a starter from now on. He showed that at Kentucky and that he should be the second starter. He's the one that's pitched most consistent out of the ones that have been up and down all season. So they need another really good right-hand arm out of the bullpen because right now you're looking at eight pitchers that they can rely on and go out there and say, hey, please get outs. Please, for the love of Jesus, get outs. That's all we need. And that DeKramer adds that ability to, you know, he could start because he's done it in his career. He did it earlier in the season. So if they get to a game four or game five situation, whether it be at a regional or if they make it to Omaha and they get to a deep situation where they need a starter. They've got Tate McGuire now. Now they got James DeKramer that could possibly be that fourth starter or a guy that could go three innings out of the bullpen.
Arkansas is the seventh seed, so you've got games tomorrow, and Arkansas is going to play the winner of the 10 versus 15 game. South Carolina is the 15th seed, 10 is Tennessee. This is at 4:30 p.m. Central Time, and Arkansas's game is going to be at approximately 4:30 Central Time on Wednesday. And if they win that game, then they advance to play number 2 Texas on Thursday, May 21st through Friday, May 22nd are these quarterfinal games. That's on Friday, May 22nd. So, yeah. So what about this postseason? Kevin, is there any, well, I mean, obviously we know there are, but which players do you think are all SEC, maybe all American?
Yeah. So I think Ryder Helfrich is a lock to be an all American, for what he's done. He's the best defensive catcher when you look at runs saved, and a lot of different metrics that, some of the national media outlets and, stat aggregators are really looking at. He's been the top defensive catcher, and he's done it at the plate as well. I mean, he's hitting 292, 15 home runs, 48 RBIs. He's the first catcher in Arkansas baseball history to have multiple 15 home run or more in a season. He did it twice. So for him to do that twice was really big. And he's just been the captain. He had 989 fielding percentage. So I think he's a lock for an All-American. Hunter Dietz will be first team All-SEC. And he may get the nod on some All-American list, you know, for what he's done, you know, leading the conference in strikeouts. He's at 117 now. That's a top 10 number in Razorback baseball history for a season. 3.32 ERA, 7-3, you know, pitching in the toughest conference in America. SEC's going to get 11 or 12 teams in the NCAA tournament. So I think he deserves a first-team All-SEC. Camden Kozel will get a nod as well, maybe as a utility guy. He's not going to be the first team shortstop, but 17 home runs, 63 RBIs, 309 average is tough to keep off. And then Carter Rutenbar will be named possibly a freshman All-American, and then he'll be an SEC freshman all-conference player as well. He's hitting 305 and played a number of positions this year. He's played four that I know of, left field, right field, first base, and catcher. So those are the three right there if you're really looking at it. The other guys that have put up some numbers, they're just not quite there yet.
Hey, I was looking at this, Kevin. I'm going to switch you to football real quick. Yeah. I was looking at Bet Saracen, and Arkansas is plus +8 right now against Utah. That game is already up there. What's your early pick?
That's impressive, yeah. Considering that Ryan Silverfield says he don't know how he's going to match up against Utah, yeah. I'm likely to go with the Utes, you know, on the road right there. So, we don't know. Of course, Ryan Silverfield's making his, you know, all in tour on the railways mm-hmm. in Arkansas, and Little Rock, Connor covered that for us last week. It's going to be exciting just because of the unknown, but I'm excited to see a defense that can go out there and look like an SEC defense, I believe. I'm like you in the fact that I think quarterback situation is going to keep this team from being somebody that can get over the hump. I just don't think they're
– Maybe.
Maybe.
They could have a quarterback.
Yeah, they could.
You just don't
know. We don't know.
We don't know until they're under the lights. That's the problem with the position. But you see the best teams out there, Kevin. The best teams aren't waiting around to see, like, who's next on our roster. We're just handing the keys to, you know, whoever wins the starting job between these, you know, these guys. The best teams out there went out and got a guy out of the transfer portal or, you know, or either had like Sayin or, you know, Ty Simpson's last year, like at Alabama, guys that were five-star recruits. So,
right.
And different, but
people will say, well, look what Trinidad Chambliss did. That's an exception, not the rule, guys. You're not,
but that's also a great example of how difficult it is to evaluate quarterbacks in practice because you can never simulate an actual live game situation and just unless you're just knocking the crap out of them.
That's right.
You know, because they know they're not going to get hit. And so you're still going to pick Austin Simmons over Trinidad Chambliss. You're still going to try to recruit players to come in and replace Stetson Bennett because he's not good enough to win a championship. You know? Yeah. Won two of them. So anyway, that's going to be an interesting one. I've mentioned this several times, but you know, with Arkansas should win its opener. That Utah game in week two presents an opportunity to possibly start 3-1 if you can surprise Utah. And it's probably a great thing for Arkansas. They don't have their coach anymore. Whittingham's at Michigan. So if you can surprise Utah and start off 3-1, I think with these shallow relationships that you see out there, you know, with all these new guys, you don't have that deep bond of coming in the same recruiting class. You know, you need to start strong. I think it's one of the reasons that the two teams went different direction. Bet Saracen, if you use the promo code BIDDY250, capital BIDDY 250, or you can use the link below that's on YouTube, you can get $250 back when you sign up and put down a $25 bet. You can use that to bet on Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen is Arkansas's number one sports betting app.
Arkansas's
Sounds like those big out-of-state sports betting apps finally found Arkansas.
So now Bet Saracen is the only true local sports app and still Arkansas's fan fave.
Bet Saracen was made by Arkansans for Arkansans.
Just look at Fayetteville, where Saracen Casino, they're partnered with Hogs football, basketball, and baseball.
And Bet Saracen is also the official sports app for the ASU Red Wolves, UA Little Rock Trojans, and many others.
So bet with Arkansans. Bet Saracen.
Hey, Kevin, I wanted to get you out with this. Just if you could, back on baseball, what's one glaring issue that could prevent this team from making a postseason run?
You know, after the game three against Kentucky, I went back and looked. I said, okay, Arkansas obviously has trouble, you know, getting people out in game three of a series. So I wanted to go back and look and see how many runs they were allowing just in SEC play. Because they gave up 26, they gave up 15, they gave up 12 against Georgia, Oklahoma, and now Kentucky. So 9.2 runs per game allowed in game three of SEC series. They gave up 92 runs in 10 games. So that to me says you don't have a deep pitching staff at all. You got guys that run out there and you're just hoping that they can get you out. So that's the thing that keeps me from saying, okay, this team can really make a run. Now, is the potential there for some of these guys to figure it out? Absolutely. But they're going to go Hunter Dietz number one in their opener against whatever number three seed they get. Then they're going to have to throw Gabe Gackel in game two. If they win those two games, somebody's going to have to beat them twice. Oklahoma State did it in 2022. They beat Arkansas the first game, and then Arkansas came back, blew them out in the final of the regional. So for them to win a regional and get to a super, they have to win the first two games. Otherwise, they're going to be playing from behind, behind the eight ball, and they're going to have too many games and not enough arms.
All right, Cabo. Appreciate you, buddy. I was reading some of the comments in here, and one of the guys is like, come on, Trey. Here it is. Come on, yeah. Trey. Baseball starts the SEC tournament and softball team is super regional at home, and you're talking about football. I love you, but let's stick with about the teams that are active. I was just waiting. Everything has a segment. I got to bring in Cabo to talk baseball. I'm not going to help you much on baseball. So.
Softball, congratulations. They run ruled everybody. First time in school history. Now they get to host another super regional. I'm hoping they get to OKC this year. That Coach Stifle, that program deserves it. If anybody does, they do.
I hate that they put it on 11 a.m. on a Friday.
Of course.
Like.
Ridiculous.
So you're just going to, I mean, I don't know. You got to take off work.
Yeah.
I guess the kids are out of school. They got to do something. Send them softball. All right, Cabo. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, everybody. That's Kevin Bohannon. Follow him. Oops. Follow him at Cabo Baseball Guru on X. All right, let's check out some of our questions now. Okay, this is from Vintage Soul Radio. Says straight up, Trey, do you think Silverfield can turn this program around? What does your gut tell you? And don't hold back and don't be wishy-washy. Okay. All right. Am I usually wishy-washy? So I think he's got as good a chance to turn this program around as Alex Golish or John Sumrall or whatever. It's just, it depends on the resources. It really does. Like, you have to have the resources, but from what I see from, like, you know, his structure, his organization, his activity level, I like all of those things. Okay. So that's one thing where it starts. You know, I hear people say stuff like Chad Morris 2.0. The thing with Chad Morris was he would walk around that building saying, measure twice and cut once, and, you know, had all these little sayings and stuff. And he didn't live up to the same saying. Like, he didn't. You know, he wasn't always just like on time or showing up or, you know, doing all the things that you have to do. John Pelfrey was a lot like that. Pelfrey would say a lot of great things and on game day wanted to win more than anybody in the building, but it's the things that you do leading up to that. So I do see that stuff from Silverfield. My question for this team has been what it always is, and that is, do they have a quarterback? And unfortunately, we are just not going to know that. And Rick Schaefer accused me of hedging what I was saying and being able to put everything on the quarterback if things don't work out, because I have said I think that they put together a pretty decent roster. I think they put together a roster that they can win with if they win in the certain categories that they got to win. And that's penalties, turnover, special teams. You got to win those categories if you're Arkansas, because you're going to be facing teams that are equally as talented or more talented than you are. So you have to win in those categories, or you're just not going to have success. And you have to have a quarterback. That's the bottom line. Yes, I think that he has as good a chance to win with the resources he has as Alex Golish, who was probably getting the job before things fell through with Florida and Kiffin, and he went to LSU, and then Florida turned their attention to Golish and so on and so forth. So I don't mean to be wishy-washy, but the answer is, if you don't have a quarterback, you're just not going to have a good team. So does Arkansas have one? And it's not just straight up about coaching. It's about sometimes you just don't – it's just a hard position to know. Most of the great quarterbacks don't generally come like straight from the same program over and over again, unless they transferred in there because they were having success somewhere else. Okay. I hope that you were – this is Leroy Dumas – I hope you were satisfied with the baseball talk and our fairly limited coverage of softball. But Vintage Soul Radio says he'd rather talk football because this is a football state still. Like, football is what generates the most revenue. Yes, Arkansas is more successful in basketball and baseball. Baseball still loses $3 million a year. People keep watching football. I feel like people in this area continue watching football and watch other football games, you know, when it's not just Arkansas. They want to know what's going on in the SEC. They'll continue watching, you know, the playoffs and all that stuff. And I don't know that that's the same for baseball. I don't know, or maybe basketball to that degree. And that's one reason that football has such big TV contracts, because people watch more. Sophomore run rule to every game. Yes, I think they 27-3 or something. Do they put Arkansas last because they have been the worst team in the league? I think possible. I don't know how they draw that, if it's a drawing or, you know, or how they do it, just a random deal. But it's possible. I think it kind of just shows an overall lack of respect that Greg Sankey and the SEC offices have for Arkansas. And that's been obvious. And why should they have much respect? I mean, you think about some of the things that have happened, like, the LSU game, thankfully, is back to rivalry weekend, which it should have never – that should have never happened. Jeff Long should have never let that happen. And it's back to there. But, like, the fact that they would, like, they protect all these rivalries and, you know, playing a nine-game schedule and, you know, have to have these permanent rivals and stuff, all this kind of stuff preserved. But for Arkansas, they're just like, oh, just move this one. You're good. We want them to play Texas A&M, bigger market. You know, that's just a slap in the face to Arkansas. Your new rival is Missouri. The way that the schedule comes out all the time, we've done research in this. I don't have this updated, but the way it comes out all the time where, you know, Arkansas will play their first SEC game on the road year after year, or sometimes two, open up with two SEC road games, or, you know, things get structured in a way where, you know, you have that game in Arlington. The SEC knows Arkansas is playing that Arlington game, and you just run into this, you know, six-game stretches where you're playing at six different venues to open the season and stuff, you know. Like, and Arkansas does some of that stuff to themselves, but the SEC definitely doesn't do them any favors. And, you know, people can say I'm bitching or whatever, but, like, when this schedule, when they were putting this schedule out for football – I said, watch, they will either put Arkansas on the road to open, which they may not do because they've done it so often lately, or they're going to give them Georgia as their first SEC home game. And what did they do? They gave them Georgia. It's very predictable. They put them last at SEC media days. They don't care. They don't care about Arkansas. Greg Sankey does not care about Arkansas. He's not worried about you. It's frustrating, but Arkansas has got to do something to buck that trend some kind of way. Okay. Raw Hog says, this is on the Razor's Edge forum, You have a handle on Silverfield's recruiting team building strategy. Is our recruiting rankings low because we are missing out on 4 stars, or are we not pursuing as many? Arkansas shouldn't be pursuing a bunch of 4 stars in recruiting, not in this landscape. Arkansas does not need to spend its money on guys that have to develop in the program. Going out and getting a bunch of 4-star offensive linemen who cost you $200,000 and aren't going to play for 2 or 3 years, that's not a good use of your money. You can go out and get a redshirt sophomore offensive lineman who come in and start for you for 3 years. You know, that's where you need to spend your money if you're going to spend it on linemen like that. If you want to go out and get a stud running back, okay, go get a stud running back. They'll come in and play for you early. Cornerback, they can do that. They can come in and play for you early. Quarterback is a position that you want to invest in, going out and getting a stud. But at the same time, like, you can go out and get all the studs you want at quarterback, but like, you better make sure that you get a guy that's going to be great, because most of the teams out there now, they're not just elevating guys. Like, yes, Saiyan at Ohio State, I mentioned him. You know, he was a 5-star, and Ohio State has, you know, one of the most talented teams in the entire country. Ty Simpson at Alabama, 5-star. You know, they brought, you know, he was kind of just the next guy. You know, Lenora Sellers would have been a guy that was brought up at South Carolina. It's not like South Carolina set the world on fire. Arch Manning, there's another good example. 5-star quarterback, you know, that's, it's just a different kind of deal. So, like, if you're not getting, like, guys that are, like, surefire, like, this guy is a flat-out stud, you know, we're pretty sure. And if he's not a stud, we got another 5-star. Then, you know, you probably ought to go out and get a quarterback off somebody else's team that's proven themselves. It's what most teams do, you know. Like, Texas Tech wasn't, like, going to have all their momentum going, and they had a guy starting from within the program, but they weren't going to have all this momentum going and being like, well, who's next? We'll just hand the keys to him. You know, they went out and got Sorsby, who, you know, has obviously some issues right now. You know, Lane Kiffin is not just like, who's the next quarterback at LSU? No, they went out and got the kid from Arizona State. Like, so, yes, your strategy as a recruiter needs to be spending money on players in the transfer portal who can help you. But also, you know, there are guys who are 3-star offensive linemen who can help you, you know, who don't break the bank in terms of NIL, who you can develop in your program. You know, you can obviously spend your money. Defensive linemen, those are rare players. So, yeah, I understand going out and getting high school defensive linemen. But for the most part, other spots, like, I'm not going out and trying to get a top 15 type of recruiting class. They could do that if they wanted to take that strategy, but that would leave holes the other way. I'm going out and I'm getting guys that can immediately come in and start for me out of the transfer portal. And I'm getting guys that maybe have been in the college a year or two and bringing those guys in. Guys that maybe I wouldn't have gotten initially. I mean, I've made this point before, but Arkansas went out and got guys from California, from North Carolina, and just about everywhere in between. That is not out of the transfer portal. And some of them are younger. That is not Arkansas's footprint in recruiting. You know, football recruits tend, even with the money, they still tend to go near home. They still tend to do that. Transfer portal opens up everything for Arkansas, and we've complained about it a lot. But as far as, like, Arkansas's number one disadvantage is access to elite high school talent throughout its history. It's not the fan support. It's not the resources. It's not the area of Northwest Arkansas. It's not facilities. It was one time, but it hasn't been facilities for a long time. It is access in that 250-mile radius to elite talent. That's been the problem. Okay, we got another good question that I'll answer here and see if we have any more pop up. But I would love to tell you about our friends over at Blakeman's. Blakeman's Fine Jewelry is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is offered in various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you know you could also shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? So, hey, great people over there, people that I trust, people who are Razorback fans, obviously the official jeweler of the Razorbacks, built on tradition since 1987. Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Again, visit them at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers at their new flagship location. Probably the best jewelry store in the entire region. Several states. Okay. We got any more comments? Banger intro. appreciate that. I don't know what you mean, though. They put Arkansas last because, yeah. Okay, so last question here. Says, are you worried about, oh, we got two more. Are you worried about the quarterback situation because what you've seen is so far is worrisome, or just worried about an unknown and it's just as likely to go be bad or good? It's the unknown more than anything. Now, I would have liked to have seen them like maybe do a little more. Like, first of all, I don't think AJ Hill is the answer. Not right now. Maybe one day. But right now, I just feel like he's got to polish up a lot still. He's got to clean up a lot. I feel like it's a one-person quarterback competition, really, with KJ Jackson. And I guess I don't love that, first of all. But also, I wanted to see KJ, like, messing people up, like just dominating at times, you know, just getting on a heater. And I didn't really see that as much. But, again, you know, he played well in times when he was asked to last year, you know, against Texas some, and played some against Missouri, obviously, but and started that game. But to me, it's just the unknown. It's just the unknown because I don't want to continue to repeat myself, but coaches do a terrible job evaluating this position, holding competitions, and determining who the starting quarterback is going to be. They do a bad job all the way around. NFL coaches do a bad job. All the way around. They draft. They are still going to draft Jamarcus Russell, number one, and have access to all his high school tape, his college tape, have doctors, psychiatrists, everybody look at the guy, and they're still gonna draft him. They're still gonna draft Ryan Leaf. You know, they're still gonna make those mistakes. And it just shows to me how difficult it is to evaluate that position. So I'm worried about the unknown. You can't practice. The only way to practice is to speed everything up, put all the pressure possible on a quarterback, and knock the crap out of him over and over again in practice. And then, you know, if you do that, then you might decide who the starting quarterback is going to be because the other guy gets injured. So it's difficult. It's a difficult position to evaluate, mainly because of the way you practice it. But teams come out of camp all the time with the wrong guy starting. Live and Guy says, Trey, you've shared your story from 9/11, and deciding to go to college. I'd already gone to college. I'm curious if someone inspired you to go to journalism specifically and why sports. Okay. So my story, after I went to the University of Arkansas, I had always struggled figuring out what I wanted to do. And my dad had this opportunity, like, you know, just as kind of his side business and just for, you know, me to be my primary thing and to run the operation, was getting into the pecan business of all things. I was for 2 years, almost 2 years. I was a farmer, in South Central Georgia, south of Macon, Georgia and, in Wrightsville, home of Herschel Walker. But, you know, I was out there one day in the field. And that night I came back on a tractor. I was driving a tractor home, and I had, I don't know, probably 25 minute drive, from the orchard. And then my dad met me and he was like, did you hear about, you know, the attacks and everything? I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, you know, somebody flew two airplanes in the World Trade Center. I was like, holy crap. I had no idea. This is like 6 o'clock or something, 6:30 at night. When I found out about all the 9/11 stuff, and I got home, I turn on the TV, my buddy Chris calls me and it's like, yeah, he lives in DC. He's like, yeah, we've been off all day. I was like, why? He goes, are you serious? I had no idea that like plane had hit DC. I had no idea and felt super dumb and disconnected and just lost for the entire world. I felt like I was the only person that didn't know what was going on that day. And also during this time when I was in Georgia, and I was very isolated there. I didn't really have a lot of people in my life. It's just a small town. I didn't know anybody, you know, I'm an Arkansas guy. And I was writing at night. A lot of times I would write, you know, game stories, my thoughts on the Razorbacks, and I would send it to Chris and he would then send it out to masses of people and he would call it the Biddy Report. And I had no idea that he was even doing this. I was just sending it to him. You know, and one day, a week or something, I didn't send one out and I got an email from somebody like, hey, when's the Biddy Report coming out? I was like, what do you mean? And come to find out that Chris had this big web of people and he was sending the Biddy Report out. And it's like, well, maybe I could go back to school. I had been minoring in communications and I could go back to school and get a degree in journalism pretty quick. I figured out that I could get a degree pretty quick. And obviously for me, sports, you know, makes sense. That's what I've always loved. I've always loved Razorback sports. And so I went back to school. By then, like everybody I knew had moved to Little Rock. You know, it was like the thing to do. You graduate college and everybody moved to Little Rock. We're all going to Sticky Fingers at night and all that kind of stuff. So I moved to Little Rock and I enrolled at UALR because all, you know, everything transferred over and stuff. And I think it was a year and a half and maybe a summer in there. And I graduated with the degree in news editing. Did you know I did not win Journalism Student of the Year? Just saying, I didn't win. We had a small journalism crew. That was my path. And when I was doing that, when I was in school, Rivals started hiring. I saw something. I had some work in sports newsletter or something I'd subscribed to or something. And I found out that they were hiring. Will Woods came and interviewed me and interviewed several other people. And I remember during the interview, his wife called and he said, she's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just talking to the newest employee at Rivals.com. And that's how I got hired. And I started writing articles like $10 an article. This was in 2003. This was 2002, actually, when I was hired. And I started at the start of 2003. And then 2007, I bought, after a little while, they named me publisher. 2007, I bought the rights to the site. 2017, I moved to 24/7. Yeah, that's the story. That's what inspired me to go into journalism. All right, everybody. I feel like that was a show. We did talk baseball and softball. If you could give a letter grade to each AD, what would you give them and why? Also, do you think this is DVH last year's head coach? Would Haas be the guy to replace him? I don't know on that. I hope not. I think DVH is going to keep chasing a championship. I think when he wins it, which I do think is going to happen, then I think that might be the end of it. I think that his goal is to build a house with, and I know the area where it is, and put his daughters on either side of him. I think that's what retirement looks like for Dave Van Horn. After a national championship. I mean, how old is Dave? It feels like he's been here forever. I remember when Norm was here. 65. He's still young, still sprite. But, you know, it's creeping up there, obviously. If you could give a letter grade to each AD, each one. Well, Frank Broyles, you have to give an A plus two, even though he didn't always ace the test. I mean, I've spoken several times about forcing a Houston nut to hire Gus Malzahn was a terrible decision by Frank. And, you know, forcing all that Springdale five stuff at the end, that, you know. But other than that, you know, overall, Frank Broyles was an outrageous athletic director. Jeff Long. Jeff Long, I would have to give a C minus. I thought firing him when they did was not a good decision. It led to getting Chad Morris. I don't think that was on Jeff Long, obviously. But I don't know. It's hard to give a great grade to Jeff, but I know that there are some coaches out there who really appreciate, you know, in other sports what Long was able to do. Yurecek's a little more hampered that he's not able to help out all the sports. Like he's got to, everybody wants football to be great. And that's where you got to put your resources, football and basketball, you know? But Yurecek, I mean, it's hard to give him a great grade either right now. I mean, Calipari was a great hire, but you don't really put that, you don't really look at Yurecek and say, oh, you're the one that made that happen. You know, we all know John Tyson. He did hire Musselman, which was a great hire. Musselman was exactly what Arkansas needed at the time. He did hire him. Dave Van Horn generally seems to have liked Yurecek. I think he probably liked more resources from him in terms of revenue sharing. And I don't know if he could have. I mean, the results still would have been the same. Like, they won two games last year. Probably should have let Pittman go a year earlier. And maybe, you know, maybe things are a little bit different here. Maybe you get a little earlier jump. So it's hard to give any of them a great grade aside from Frank, to be honest. And I was, you know, I don't remember when Barnhill was AD. I wasn't alive then. All right. Appreciate that comment, Nicholson. Great show, Trey. Keep it the work and go Hogs. Any chance Hog Sports would do something like Pate State Speaker Series where y'all would interview Hog Sports legends during the football, basketball news dead periods? I don't know. I've thought about doing something different like that. But at the same time, I've had some guests on here before. Like usually it's, you know, writers from other teams to help us preview upcoming football games and people that work for me at Hog Sports. But I don't know, maybe. Maybe I would be into doing something like that. I got to tell you, sometimes it's hard for me to just doing two shows a week. I think like, man, what are we going to talk about today? All right, everybody. Appreciate you joining me. Thanks to Kevin Bohannon for hopping on with us as well. Be sure to check out Crane Automotive, Biddle Armstrong, Blakeman's Fine Jewelry, Bet Saracen. Check out our friends at Back Nine Golf. And am I leaving somebody out? Ozarks Go, of course. Back Nine Golf, we might have something put together here, maybe a little bit of a special or something that we're working on to entice you to go check them out. They do free demos. You got to go check out the demo. It's a good setup. All right, everybody. Appreciate you joining me. This has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com. We'll catch you next time.